Okay. 4 weeks ago, actually 5 weeks ago now, we started this little series about family business. And what we're trying to accomplish there, I believe, is to call everyone, all of us, including ourselves, to the work, to the expression of God's grace in us as that is to be expressed to the world through what he's gifted us with. And that's what we're desiring to do. If you'll remember, we had a few sessions of interviewing people, little short interviews that Nick did with some of you, and we're just trying to get prime the pump of what you like to do, what you like to see, what's in your heart, what your passion is, things like that. And he put together this little video that I'd like for you to watch.
Take pictures. I love to take pictures of all of my memories, so that's my favorite thing to do for fun, because then I can look back and like reminisce and go through. I'm like, oh, I did this, I did that. Ah! It gets me excited.
I like to build furniture, restore furniture, build houses, restore houses. I like to build people and restore people that are going through hard times.
Well, first of all, I love to play sports. I love to watch sports.
I like riding my bike, working out at the gym. Probably the most fun in my life is spending time with my grandkids.
Well, surprisingly enough, old people do have fun. And I think about the most fun I have is talking with people. Because people are about the most important thing there is. You learn a lot of things, you know. I love talking with people.
Something that would bring us together with laughter, make life a little bit lighter. We all have so much to handle.
I'd have a great big garage sale in the parking lot.
I think of something to gather people together, either in my home or even in the church, just to fellowship and get to know them.
I think I would like to do church picnics more often.
I don't know if we should make church more exciting now that Javen's preaching, but I think spending more time with each other.
I would like to teach the Bible in an optical language so that people can see what's actually written down in this book.
I know personally, I think I would, I'd like to go on a mission someplace and to teach others about the grace that I've received.
I'd like to do like community projects or have the church reach back to the community. You know, not just restoring houses and things, but restoring people, restoring and reaching out to them in the natural as well as spiritually and emotionally, meeting their needs.
I've dedicated a portion of my life to help people struggling with addictions or of any type, and I've opened up houses for them to have a new chance to start their life over.
I have a wonderful group of girls in Bible study in my home on Monday nights. They make such a difference in each other's lives. They have just formed such bonds, and they're so helpful. They pray for each other. And so for me to help other people in church become more satisfied, more loving, and know where to seek the help, get involved with a group like that, that you can study the Word together.
I think the home fellowship groups are the most important thing. And I would like to discuss a day later what was taught on Sunday.
Having these community projects or community services, you know, whether it's taking a group from the church and helping someone move or helping them, you know, get their car worked on or painting or all the projects, especially like single moms, single women, or even men, but meeting their needs and building relationship with them allows us to speak into their lives. and bring Christ to their lives.
I think that I would like to do like some events like for the like Halloween and Easter, just do like a trunk or treat or something like that, invite the community out for Halloween and just do a trunk or treat type of event, and then for Easter maybe have a community Easter egg event or Easter egg hunt I should say, and just invite the community out for that, and then just have them stay for service.
I think that it would be really awesome to do like potluck dinners. So like whenever like we have church after service, we can just get all together and have a bunch of food. But then that way we can invite our neighbors or different people that we just know locally that might not want to come to like a church building, but we can just all meet in a home and just like eat food, because who doesn't like to eat, right? So I think that'll be kind of fun.
We've been very delighted at people's, at all of your response. Just know that for the next couple of weeks, you can still respond if you'll get one of the response cards. They'll be in the display area where the family business thing is out in the lobby after the service. And we'd love to hear your ideas. We've gotten some great ones, and I'm going to read you about our connection ministry. We've got several people there, lots of people in different areas of things we already do, and some ideas of things that we don't do that we believe will be fulfilling to those that participate. So thank you for that. In 2 weeks, on Sunday, we will highlight our life groups, and you'll be able to meet our life group leaders, talk to them, get information. You can share with our overall leaders of life groups if you would like to start a group, or what kind of group you'd like to start, or whatever that whatever is in your heart or minds. And we do believe one of the greatest things that happens that we see in our personal lives as our pastoral staff and in the groups that do meet is the sharing of grace back and forth. It's inspiring to hear one another's stories, for one thing, but also the insight and the wisdom that happens between us as we discuss the finished work of Jesus together. So it's important that you become a part of a group like that where you can share those kinds of things in your life. Okay, this morning, the title obviously is Putting Away Childish Things. That comes from Paul's statement in 1 Corinthians 13, where he says, when I was a child, I would speak as a child, think as a child, I reasoned as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. He's talking about moving toward maturity. Let me read you Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through 14. Concerning him, and obviously they're talking about Christ, he is. Concerning Jesus, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain for this reason, since you've become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you've come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. But Paul is saying here, you've had plenty of time and should have progressed beyond where you are. As a matter of fact, it seems like there is a regression that's happened in their thinking. And you've come to need milk and not solid food, and milk is for babies. Milk is for babes. If you're a baby, milk is good. If you're not a baby, milk will perpetually cause you to stay a baby. That's what he's saying. You should have come to maturity, but you haven't. Now, every one of you that, most everybody in the room, I can't speak for everyone. The gospel of grace, gospel of the finished work of Jesus, has impacted your life, right? The truth of grace, the truth of Jesus' finished work has impacted us. I would say that for the vast majority, that impact is permanent. It changes you in ways that simply you cannot undo and will never want to undo. Grace, and I wish I had a bigger term to describe it, but grace is sufficient. Grace impacts me, and through me, it is to impact the world. Grace to me and through me impacts the world around me. So it's not enough just to know of grace and receive grace, but grace by its very nature is to be given away. It's to be released. One of the facets of grace is grace always gives. So we're to give away what we have because it is so abundant it'll never run out. Matter of fact, it increases the more it's given. There is a progressive nature to maturity. I do not believe in progressive sanctification, as you well know. I think progressive sanctification, the idea of it, sanctification means to have having been made perfect, really is what it means. It's impossible. Progressive sanctification, in other words, you are justified, you are being sanctified, you will be glorified, that whole progressive nature of things, I believe is nonsense. I'm not saying people that believe it are stupid, I'm just saying it doesn't make any sense. It's nonsense. You cannot be in relationship with a holy, perfect, holy God and have not been fully and wholly sanctified yourself. It's impossible. So that's done. That's taken care of. That's over with. You are sanctified. You're justified. You're sanctified. As a matter of fact, you're already glorified, really, in some measure. But now listen, I do believe in progressive maturity, that we are to grow to maturity. And I'm going to tie this together with the great destiny of the church here in just a moment, the destiny that all of us have before us. Will you all agree with me that we live in some very tumultuous times? Would you agree with me about that? I mean, it's for about a month, I didn't read any newspapers, listened to very little news. Occasionally, would listen to a little bit, but not much. It's just mostly local stuff. And quite frankly, that is very refreshing. Just to not have to hear and deal with emotionally with what's happening in the world. Very tumultuous things, wars, rumors of wars, and so forth, as was prophesied. But it's on a personal basis also. All of that stuff impacts us. We all feel, I think, in some measure, that our very way of life is being threatened, that the future is very nebulous to us. The generation that all of us live in right now, we don't feel as confident about the future as past generations did. We have a lot to worry about. Lots of worries can beseech you and come upon you, whether it's personal things, whether it's wondering if you're going to have a job, wondering if you're going to have a future, are you going to have enough to eat, are you going to have a place to live, those kinds of natural things that are always a challenge for us. But beyond that, are my children going to be living in a world that is so different and so difficult until I fear for them? So we all feel this, I think. You agree with that? Now listen to me. People are worried about many things. The entire planet is straining for one thing. The New American Standard says the entire world is anxiously longing for one thing. All of creation is anxiously longing for one thing. And that one thing is the manifestation or the revealing of the sons of God. Romans 8:19. The entire creation is groaning toward, straining toward, longing for the revealing or the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, what in the world does that mean? That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Before we get there to that verse in Romans, I want to back up and talk about another verse. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, that comes the very last verse in Matthew chapter 5. That Matthew chapter 5 passage, part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus introduces a passage with the Beatitudes. And in my opinion, what Jesus is doing through all of that chapter is explaining the nature of grace from the perspective of the kingdom of grace. That's what he's doing. And he ends that chapter with this verse, verse 48. He says, "Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." What does that verse do to you? I mean, what does it do to you? You are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. in past days and past ways, you have seen that and thought, well, first of all, that's probably impossible, absolutely impossible, but at least it's a goal to have, and I strive to perform, I strive to be, I strive to make choices, I strive to do things that are as perfectly right as God is perfectly right. That's the way we would have interpreted it, probably. We know it's impossible, but it's a goal to reach for. But that's not the way he stated it. Jesus said, you are to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Now, we can be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. Now, let me give you an understanding of what that word means, perfect. The word is the Greek word teleios, T-E-L-E-I-O-U-S, teleios, I-O-S, teleios. Teleios means a full age or mature, full age or mature. You are to come to maturity. It means coming to maturity. You're to come to maturity as your Heavenly Father is mature. You're to begin, and when that is present in your life, you begin to think like God thinks. You begin to respond as God responds. You begin to see things as God sees them, not in the fullness that you will, but certainly in a measure that makes a radical difference in the world in which you live. You are to be mature, or come to teleios, maturity, as your Father is mature. Now, the contrast to that word teleios is the word we read about a moment ago in Hebrews chapter 5, which is a babe. A teleios, mature son, and a babe, or a little son, a baby son. Now, what I'm going to do is explore the meaning of two different Greek words, and then I'm going to tie it up together for you, and it won't take long. Two words translated in the New Testament, translated son, both of them coming from the way the Apostle John and the Apostle Paul uses these two terms. The first term for son, translated son, is technon, T-E-K-N-O-N, technon. That describes a son who is a son by birth, meaning a blood son. It's the word that Mary used to describe Jesus. He's my son, my technon, my baby, my son, by birth, by blood. The second Greek word is the Greek word huios, H-U-I-O-S, huios. Jesus used this term exclusively, the only term he did use. He used this term exclusively of his relationship with his Father. Huios. Technon, by birth, baby. Huios, son by relationship. Okay, and we'll get to that in just a moment. Now, the huios son is the kind of son, the kind of person that Jesus is calling us to be in Matthew 5:48. Be perfect. Teleios, mature, as your Heavenly Father is mature or of age. All right, let me give you an illustration of technon from the Scriptures. Remember, the son by birth. John 1, 11 through 13 says this. John says, he came to his own, and his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right or the power to become children or sons of God. Technon. Even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So he's describing there our entry into relationship with God as a son or daughter. I'm using that term generically. As a son or daughter through our new birth experience. We became technons, children of God. 1 John 3, 1 and 2. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children or sons of God, technon, and such we were. Beloved, we are now children, sons of God, technon. This describes our birth as the technon of God or children of God when we were born again. Paul also uses this term in Romans chapter 8, verse 16 to 17, where he says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children, technon, of God, And if technon, children, then heirs also of God. So, our heritage in Christ is that we are God's children. Technon. Now, I'm not making light of that in any form or fashion. Everyone who comes to maturity as a person was born as a baby. That's a natural process, and it's a spiritual process. So I'm not making light of that at all. Everyone needs to be born again by faith. And once they are a child of God. Does that make sense to you? Okay? I'm not making light of that. However, many believers, unfortunately, stay there. They stay as technon, spiritual babies. They're sons and daughters, but they keep on wearing diapers. They just keep on wearing them. And they strive and want and desire things that babies strive and want and desire, or little children want and desire. That's where they stay. They eagerly desire for somebody to put the pacifier back in their mouth so they can feel a sense of security. Wrap me up tight so I can feel secure. Give me the boundaries that are able to keep me secure. Tell me what to do. Tell me where to go. Tell me how to think. Tell me how to act. Tell me how to behave. Tell me this stuff. That's what they demand from those who are their fathers and mothers. That makes sense? I want to know my boundaries. Their prayer lives go something like this. And again, I'm trying not to be critical. If you're a baby, you're a baby, but just don't stay there. Their prayer lives go something like this, and I measure my own level of maturity about these things inside my own thinking. God, help me. God, help me. God, I want. God, give me. God, give me. God, I want. God, I want. I want. I need. God, I need. Mama, I need. Mama, I want. I need. I want. I need. I want. I want. Can I have? May I have? Will you give me? Please bless me. Please. Please bless me. Please bless me. Please bless me. And the pattern is this. The pattern of our lives there is the WWJD philosophy. What would Jesus do? That's what babies want. That's what little children want. And frankly, in many cases, they want things they need, but they want a lot more than they really need. They don't know what they really need. They know what they want. WWJD, that's the pattern. That's our discipleship pattern. Just do, copy Jesus, act like Jesus, do like Jesus. Let him be your goal and strive to get to the goal. Be perfect. Improper interpretation of that. Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. But he's really saying be mature as your Heavenly Father is mature. Come of age. Grow up. Grow up. Into, it's good for you to grow up. What would Jesus do? Tell me what Jesus did. Set the standard for me so I can perform to that standard. So I can please God. Children. Technon. It's okay to be a technon if you are one. It's not okay to be a technon if you've had time not to be. Time to grow up. Their pattern. Behavior. It's all about behavior. Isn't that true a lot of times with your own small children? Isn't it a lot about their behavior, isn't it? Aren't you training them? And there's some good, cute things that happen in that process. There's some endearing things that happen in that process. It's when the little child or the little son You see him do something that he just saw his dad do in the way he just saw his dad do it. Or he starts walking like his dad, or talking like his dad, or mimicking his dad. Or you see the daughter mimicking the mom. You see her going into mom's closet and putting on mom's shoes and walking like mom and wanting to do the mom things. And some of the daughters wanting to do some of the things that dad does. I'm not being exclusive there between the two. Our little granddaughter, when we were on vacation for a week over at the beach, everybody's flip-flops are laying around everywhere. You know, the boys kick them all off and all of this, and we put ours here and there. And every time you turn around, she's got on a pair of our flip-flops walking in them, little two-year-old. She's doing what she sees being done. Now, that's a reasonable, good, wonderful stage of life, but it's all about behavior. The technon hasn't reached teleos, or maturity. Hasn't reached maturity. And in that stage of life, I think, in the spirit world, in the spirit realm, the immature ones, the babies, and many of them shouldn't be but are because of the mixed gospel that they've received, because you cannot come to full maturity without understanding your security in God. You can't. You're going to be warped in your understanding of God if you have a mixed gospel and you believe it. It's impossible to come to spiritual maturity at the level I'm talking about with a mixed gospel in your thinking. It's just absolutely impossible. Now, if you're in that immature place, that technon but not teleos, mature, really what the world is doing is trying to find a place of security, trying to fit in, trying to feel significant, trying to be significant, trying to find love, trying to find all these different things, trying to find your place in the world. When your real destiny is to overcome the world, not to find your place in it. That's your destiny. You're not just trying to get by in the world and feel secure. You're to come to maturity. Let me read you a passage of scripture in Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith. You see this progression here. We attain to the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, a teleos man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. That's our destiny. As a result of that, we're no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love. We're to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. All of this works together, the parts of maturity working together, builds itself, the body itself, up in love. That's what maturity is. Maturity does not succumb to, is not influenced by the winds and waves of circumstance or doctrine, the illicit doctrine that comes along, the snare of getting back into a mixed gospel, all those sorts of things a mature man simply does not respond to, does not go into, never goes back to. A mature man. As opposed to a technon, a baby. A son, but he's immature. All right, let me give you an illustration of huios. Listen to this. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, huios. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, huios, mature sons, relational sons and daughters that know God and relate to God and walk in the Spirit. Mature sons walk in the Spirit. They are led by the Spirit, not led by men, so to speak, not led by spiritual gurus, not led by this or led by that. They are led by the Spirit. Huios. Sons, mature daughters. As many as walk in the Spirit, these are the sons of God. Now, many people will interpret that and say, if you're not led by the Spirit, then you're not a son. That's not what he's saying. He's saying you can be a son of God, a technon, a babe, an immature one, and not be led by the Spirit. But if you want to grow up in him, one of the characteristics or the hallmarks of a mature man, a huios, is someone who is led by the Spirit of God. And the world is eagerly waiting, longing to see the manifestation and the revelation of the sons of God who are led by the Spirit of God. All right, let me read you another verse, the one that I quoted earlier in Romans 8:19. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons or huios of God. Mature sons. A huios is someone who is telios, mature in the things of the Spirit of God. That's where all this manifests. Someone who is utterly and absolute, who utterly knows and absolutely knows the heart of the Father. It's like a father having a grown son by his side. They relate together much differently than the father and the little son, right? It's a mom with a grown daughter, how they relate together, or a father and a daughter, how they relate together much differently than they did when this wasn't so. There's no questioning, really, of a mature son's understanding of his father's heart. No questioning of it. No questioning about things that he used to question. No questions come forth that are baby questions. They're all mature questions. They're big questions. They're good questions. They're understanding questions. The father no longer has to give parameters to the little one. He no longer gives any sort of parameters. He just is. He is what he is. So, a mature person is someone who understands the Father's heart and begins to operate in the Father's ways. You understand his heart and you operate in his ways. The eager expectation and longing by the earth, by the people in the earth, are for people just like that. Where you become teachers, no longer students, but teachers. You should have by this time become teachers, but you have come to be, need to be taught, and you need milk and not solid food. Milk, always. Now, milk is good for those that need milk. Don't get me wrong. Some people need milk. But quickly you begin to get into solid food and start eating. You start eating yourself, for yourself. You don't have someone to feed you. You eat for yourself. You begin to do that process yourself. You become a teacher, not a student. Doesn't mean you stop being a student. All teachers stay being students. You understand what I mean? But your primary calling in your life isn't to be a student. Your primary calling in life is to be a teacher. I'm not talking about a formal calling of teacher or the gifting of teacher or anything like that. I'm talking about the great manifestation of grace through our lives to others is to teach them this. Teach them this. Model this. Teach them this. Talk about this. Challenge those around you. That's what I'm talking about. You should be teachers, not students. That's a mature person, a mature man. If you're not mature, you need teachers. But if you are, you don't. You need to teach, not be taught all the time. You need to teach. That's what maturity looks like. And that's the pattern we seek to become. The pattern in Matthew 5:48, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be teleos, mature, of age, as your Father is mature and of age. And this grace that flows through you looks like something. It looks joyous, and it's always giving and abundant. It's joyous, giving, and abundant. A mature person settled in grace understands that grace has no limits nor no bounds. It is unbounded. It is as big as God is big. It's as abundant as God is. It's everywhere and fills everything. You cannot diminish it. It flows over and overcomes everything that seeks to stand in its way. It pushes everything else aside, your worries aside, your lack aside, your need aside. It flows over all of that stuff. That's what you have to offer those around you. A mature man. Okay, in closing, I want to read you something. I want to read you a testimony, so to speak. That's what we call it, but a report that I got this week. This is from Nancy Surratt, who comes to our church. And she responded on one of the cards, one of the input cards, and was talking about that, but this is what she said. She said, oh, by the way, talking to Tammy Snell, oh, by the way, thank you so much for spontaneously praying with me about the women in the faith-based program at Orange County Jail. There's a faith-based program there. Anyway, I won't explain that, but I've been there too, taught there before, in the Orange County Jail. She said, watch this process work its way out. I brought the DVDs into the jail, as you know, on Experiencing Grace, the six sessions that I teach about the fundamentals of grace, really. These DVDs known as, on Experiencing Grace. Oh my goodness. It was a wonderful morning of the women vocally making comments aloud as they watched Pastor Clark speak the truth of the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. One woman in particular had gotten caught up in the Mormon church and teachings looking for moral structure. She was raised Catholic. She asked to be in the Christian dorm in the jail out of confusion with what she was hearing and her life that had spun out of control. At wit's end, she prayed the night before she heard this teaching. She had prayed the night before, asking him to clear up all her confusion and her doubts. Through the DVD, Experiencing Grace, she came back in. She came back in after everyone left with tears in her eyes. She said for the first time she really felt free in Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, she was radiant too. She wrote me a beautiful letter to thank Pastor Clark for his teaching. She's reading Pure Grace now and gobbling it up. Also, one of the chaplains asked me to bring it in again, the DVDs, to bring it in again because of the response of the women and wants to show it to Maximum Security K-Dorm. Woohoo, she said. So the chaplain wants to show it. I'll be showing the DVD again this Friday on the two unchangeable things. Please keep these women in your prayers. The revolving doors of jail hold many of our sisters in Christ in bondage who have no idea of their true identity in Jesus and a healthy concept of Father God. I'm being blessed with hearing these grace truths over and over with them, which I never get tired of hearing, nor will I. I remain tenacious in this resting place of grace and just enjoying the presence of God moment by moment that God brought me to back in 2004 in Puerto Rico. When I hear anything that puts me under the I should tyranny, I become impervious and let it roll right off my back like Teflon. I desire with everything in me that others get set free and not have to live on that treacherous treadmill of trying harder to win God's love and God's smile. It breaks my heart that they are so stuck. So, it is so good to be a part of the family at Grace Church. So good. I am so thankful He brought me here to be a tiny part of Him setting the captives free. Well, first of all, Nancy, thank you for that response. That is in microcosm what I'm talking about today. It is coming to maturity where you have the capacity to release prisoners yourself in whatever way that manifests in your life, in whatever manner. In her case, it is going to the jail and simply taking the message of the truth. That's all. And you see the impact of that. It may be in your case serving in some way of doing something, but I'm telling you, the creation itself and the people in this world, whether they know it or not, and most of them don't, but they are eagerly longing for something, and what they're longing for is the manifestation or the revealing of the huios, sons of God. Stand up, let me pray for you. You know, Jesus said to Peter, at Peter's confession that he was the Christ, he said, "Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Even hell itself cannot stop the manifestation of the sons of God and what they bear within themselves. And it's coming, folks. It's coming. It's coming. Lord, we love You and glorify You. Thank You for the opportunity, Lord. Just the great privilege, the grace itself to be a part of something that changes the world. You sure did change my world. And Father, by faith, we receive everything You've already given. We're not really asking You to give us anything else. We just want to receive everything You've already done and already given. It's already here. You've already given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. You've already promised provision, but we receive it. You've already promised security, so we receive it. You told us that we would have, no doubt, trouble in this world, but be of good cheer. Rejoice, because You overcome the world. There's nothing bigger than Your grace, because there's nothing bigger than You. So Lord, by faith, we attune our ears to Your Spirit, our eyes to Your throne.